time to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining.
That's our desire tonight. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's go ahead and turn over to Psalm chapter 27, and we'll read the first five verses. That's good to be back with everybody as well. You know, we took a little trip up to Kentucky and saw some of the places that Brother Brown's birth area and different things. And dropped the kids off at camp and went on up to Ohio and got some good fellowship with everybody. And I tell you on the way back that I think the kids got a little bit, they got a little something at camp this year. We got them in the car and we just about had a revival on the way back. It's good to get, it's a good thing. So, after hearing the kids, there's a lot of rejoicing and different things happen at camp. But I just wanted to kind of speak on this evening the topic of confidence, because you know when you come back from a camp and everything's the environment and the atmosphere at camp can be a little bit different. When you come back to church, it's kind of come to your home church. Maybe it's a little bit back to reality, back to the real world. You go back to your job or different things, but yet there's got to be something to kind of keep you on the straight and narrow, give you something confident that'll keep you. So let's y'all can go ahead and pull that up, and well, let's go to the Lord in prayer before we read that. Lord Jesus, we're just so grateful to you tonight, Lord, to be able to gather around your word tonight, Lord Jesus. And Lord, maybe I feel like David did with his sling, you know, how can I come up against this Goliath? But I pray, Lord, tonight, Lord, you'll do like you did for David and just guide the stone, guide the words that I say, Lord, and give me the right words to speak, Lord Jesus, that you'll help me to articulate it and phrase it and just, Lord, let it be like a knife, a razor edge, Lord Jesus, to go exactly and to be placed exactly where you would have it to be placed. And we grant it, Lord, I pray, Lord, that this won't just be another service, Lord Jesus, but Lord, that the people, Lord, will go forth rejoicing and will receive something that'll help prepare them on life's way, God, and give them, Lord, as the topic I said, confidence in your word, because we must be confident in this hour. Grant it, Lord, I pray, Lord, as we give you the remainder of this service, Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you'll bless it, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm going to read from Psalm chapter 27, verses 1 through 5. And maybe y'all young people, if you get a little extra credit with me, if you can tell me the one place where Brother Branham quoted this scripture after the service. I think it's the one place. There might be more than one, but there's one very, very renowned sermon, very important sermon that Brother Branham read this scripture. And it was really odd because it seemed like, why would he read this scripture in that message? So y'all think about that. And if it takes you till next Sunday, y'all just have fun with that. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Amen. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Lord had his blessing upon the reading of the word. So, you know, I think maybe this day is kind of, the scriptural day that we're living in is a time period when above all else we should have confidence. Because we're being faced with the unleashing of all the demons that are against the 144,000 that are being gathered in Israel now. The demons that are against the bride of Christ. And we're faced with an obstacle that no other church, there's not going to be another church age. There's not going to be anything else. There's not going to be another messenger after this. So there's an obstacle in front of us that we must take a body change. And so to take a body change is going to require us to accumulate in ourselves a great amount of faith. It's going to, and Brother Brown, there's a quote where Brother Brown said, you must accumulate all these words that we've been given, accumulate all this to yourself so that you can have faith. And y'all hang on with me now. Don't start falling asleep yet. It ain't time yet. So I'm going to try to be a little bit, excited or whatever to keep you so that we don't struggle too much tonight. And listen, I rebuke that evil spirit that will call that sleepy spirit. You know, the kids, we were talking about that. It seems like it's almost a spirit that gets, as soon as the word begins to go forth, then this spirit of sleepiness kind of begins to hover over the congregation. Listen, what I'm talking about tonight is that the confidence that will give us something, we're relying on something to give us confidence to be able to take a body change. And you know, when you begin to look at what the word confidence, it really has a lot of different meanings. You know, it can mean, you know, you're confident in yourself. And of course, we don't want to be confident in ourselves. In ourselves, how are we going to take a body change? How can we do anything? And many times you begin to look when you struggle in life and struggle with different things. When you're going through sanctification, you begin to struggle in yourself. Well, how do I get rid of this addiction to smoking cigarettes or vaping or you're going out with the wrong crowd and all those different things that have that pull on you. And yet you can't do it of your own self. And you begin to realize you try to be confident in your own abilities and I'm going to just try really hard and it just never works out. Well, it's the same thing with healing. It's the same thing with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's the same thing with the body change. You cannot make one hair of your head white or black or anything. You can't increase one inch of your stature just by trying real hard. And you're not going to be able to take a body change real hard. But yes, so there's got to be something that we can rely on to give us confidence, you see. And so another word of confidence, another meaning of confidence is the state of feeling certain about the truth of something. You're certain that thing is true. And you know, in life, many times, just even in a natural life, many times we don't come to the point of being certain about something. You know, many times, the young people, when you're kind of getting into a place where you're beginning to look for a spouse and you're beginning to look for a job, and what do you have to base your decisions in life on? Many times you'll presume, just looking around, because we don't want to be critical or anything, but looking around the message universe, the message world, looking around at other people, you can begin to see that they made bad decisions, or they made decisions without confidence. They made decisions presuming. And, you know, maybe not something to, I gotta be careful, because I, But listen, look, the young people begin to share stories that they've seen, things that they've seen where maybe a little girl in a church would say, well, you know, she wouldn't come home one night. And they would, their parents would begin to look for them and get a text late at night and say, well, mom and daddy, I was confident that I found the right man for me, just all of a sudden out of the blue, and I presume that he's the right one for me, and so I ran and got married. And you see, what kind of a decision is that to be? To just presume within yourself that you know what the right thing is to do. You gotta have something to base your confidence on, you see. You know, I'm reminded of that story of Isaac and Rebekah where Abraham sent someone that he was confident with, Eliezer, to go get a bride for Isaac. And Eliezer didn't just presume. He put maybe a fleece before the Lord. Let her say that she's going to water my camels. Let her do these things. And he evaluated properly the situation. He made very clear. He made certain the situation before he gave her the gifts, before he put the gold rings on her. He made certain of the bride that he had chosen. And you see, you were talking about presuming, but see, God is doing the same thing with us. He wants to be confident of you. When he gave you the new birth, Brother Bram said he was confident that you would not sin willfully. He was confident. And when he looked upon you with confidence, believing that you would continue to walk in the word. And you see, so many times we presume that without confidence, we presume maybe that we've got the Holy Ghost. Different ones presume. They come to church and they just kind of sit in the congregation and they don't have confidence. They think they do. But what is your confidence based on? Now, see, that's what I want to hit on with, as you come from camp and different things. Is your confidence based on the fact that you ran around a church, or is your confidence based upon the fact that you shouted and had a good, real good jubilee, had a good revelation time, had a good time in the service? What's your confidence based upon tonight? What's your confidence based upon as you sit here in church? Is it based upon the fact that you go to Lula? Is it based upon the fact that you have faith in your pastor? And you know, you look around. I'll be honest. When I began to come to this church, it was almost a stumbling block for me, because you can almost form a little denomination and say, if you don't go to this particular church, if you don't go to this church, then you're going to be lost. And you form a little denomination there because you've put your confidence on the fact that you attend this church. But you see, that kind of confidence won't work, because there's only one thing that you can be truly confident in, and that is the revealed word of God. I'm sure many of you could guess that's where I'm going. And you say, well, Brother Bob, maybe this is a young person's sermon. Maybe this is a sermon for the young people. But I believe it's a sermon for all ages, because you see, even in the older ones begin to struggle in life and have health problems and things. And you begin to wonder maybe if God has left you and forgot about you. You begin to wonder, but you know, Brother Brown said that God cares about old people too. And you begin to wonder if God has left you. If you begin to wonder if God has left the church, maybe wonder if God is still here in this assembly. But I tell you, God is here. The way you know that, the way that you have confidence, is based upon the faith in God's word. You see, you look at all the examples in Hebrews 11, all the examples of the great soldiers of faith, and many times they didn't have something, some kind of sensation or something to look at. You remember when the three Hebrew children were led down into the fire? I wonder if they felt really good. I wonder if they were shouting jubilees and everything. But they went down into that furnace based upon a confidence that they had with God, that they knew their God, and they knew that those that believe their God would do great exploits. And they began to walk down into that furnace even when the guards fell away, because they knew who they believed in. And they said, if God will deliver us, then that's great. If he will not deliver us, then that's fine too. We are prepared to die. And you remember Daniel, the story of Daniel, and he went down into the lion's den. I wonder if he was maybe running around with great anointings and all of these things. You see, you can't put your confidence in a feeling. You can't put your confidence in the fact that you ran around, but you can put your confidence in a revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, that is even the evidence of the new birth, personally to you. The evidence of the new birth is that God has given you a revelation. God has revealed himself to you. Not maybe in an Old Testament way where he gives you like a revelation for the time. And then you go away wondering if something really happened. But a new birth experience is a confidence that God gives to you. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Listen, so confidence is, you know, another thing that confidence is, so confidence could be self-assurance, self-assured confidence. Confidence could be, is the state of feeling certain about the truth of something. And a lot of times confidence has another word is when you trust somebody to keep a secret, you place it in their confidence. And so you tell them something. And so you see the confidence in the Word of God, the confidence in God, confidence in a believer's life always has something to do with the Word. The Word being spoken. And so when God places His confidence in you, He tells you a secret. He gives you a secret that only you know because it's something personal to you. It's a personal relationship with you, something that you can maybe try to explain to others. And when you, so, you know, you listen to so many others' testimonies of how they got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And a lot of times it can be confusing what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is. Because when you begin to explain what happened to you, a lot of times the explanation involves running and shouting and it involves that, the stimulation of revelation. But deep down on the inside, down in that soul, something quiet and mysterious took place down on the tabernacle of your inside, on the inside where you're shut in with God, where the curtain closes behind you and nobody else maybe can see what really took place in there because it's something that only you and God know. And that's confidence. That's confidence when you can look through that smoke coming off the altar of incense and peer into the Holy of Holies and look over that mercy seat and see the glory of God coming back to you and enter into communion with Him. That's a confidence that the world cannot take away. That's a confidence that is far beyond maybe just running around and jumping and screaming and shouting. A confidence that's far above just an anointing on your flesh or on your spirit. A confidence that comes by the seed word of God being planted down on the inside. But you know, many times confidence comes by an experience. And confidence comes by a little journey. You know, you wouldn't, those of you that are like me that are and my wife, they're training up our children how to drive. It takes a while for you to get, go ahead and laugh, Esther. Yeah. It takes a while for you to get confident in their ability to turn them loose and let them have free reign with that. It takes a while to have confidence. And you see the same, a lot of people in the Bible went through a journey. Sure. You're going through a journey where at the end of that journey, God will have confidence in you. Right. You see, Abraham, when he got called, maybe God had confidence in him. Now, don't get me wrong, but he wants to see it play out, you see. And he'll give you tests and things that you go through so that he can observe and so that you can understand yourself that you truly do believe in God's word. And so then when you have gone through the experience, you can look back and you can say, I know because I was there when. I was there when the Spirit fell. I was there when God gave me a revelation. Abraham could look back and say, I was there when God called me and turned me aside and I went in a different direction. I was there when I parted ways with Lot. I was there when God put me to sleep and he moved between the sacrifices. I was there when I took God at his word and I took my son, the promised son, and I took him up on the mountain and raised up my knife, and I was there when Jehovah Jireh came on the scene and provided a lamb. He provided a sacrifice. I was there. And you see, that's the kind of confidence that comes from a new birth, a born again experience, the confidence where you can look back and say, I remember I was there when God gave me
me faith. I was there when virtue was birthed into me. I was there when knowledge, I was there when all of these things were put into me. I was there. And you see, Abraham, he had such confidence with God that for 25 years he held on to the promise until he could hold that baby in his arms. When you look at these old soldiers of faith and think about the troubles and the problems and things that we do, you know, maybe all the different problems that we suffer in our flesh and all these things, just keep hanging on. Because the same God that Abraham had confidence in, that same God is here that you can have confidence in. The same God that gave Abraham his children is the same God that will give you your children. If you'll just have confidence and believe and hang on. Oh my, I'm going to just share this little test, speaking to children. Brother Ronnie Long, when he was preaching up there in Ohio, he began to share a testimony from behind the pulpit about how when he was in Alaska, this brother came up and began to cry out for his children. He said, "I want all the people, the ministers and whatnot to come up and pray for me because my son, I don't know where he is." And it was in the wilds of Alaska, out there in the middle of nowhere, probably many hundreds of miles away from civilization. And he said, I don't know where my son is and he's not a Christian. And I want him to be saved. And so they began to call out to God for him and begin to pray for him and begin to believe with him. And at the end of the service, Brother Ronnie said he looked in the back of the church and there was a stranger came in. And he said it turned out that it was that man's son that out of nowhere in the middle of Alaska had showed up. Why? Because the prayer of faith was prayed over that brother. And he came. See, God had been working on the sea. I believe God knows you're going to pray before you actually do it. God knew he was good. They were going to pray that prayer. And he had him walking in the back of that church and he gave his heart to the Lord and he's still serving the Lord because he checked up on him. But you see, when you turn your faith loose, when you have confidence with God, it will cause a reaction. If you get on your knees and begin to cry out and call out to God for your children, the Spirit of God will move upon your children just like he moved upon the earth and caused seed to come up, just like he moved upon Paul's heart, just how he moved upon all the ones down through time. God is still able. God is still God. And I have confidence in that. Listen, I know this is maybe a simple sermon tonight, but if you get anything out of this, remember that God is still able. Have confidence in him. Believe on him. Have the same kind of confidence like Peter did. When Jesus said, "Come to me," and he took a step out of that boat and put his foot on the water and something was holding him up. There was actually a substance that was holding him up. He had confidence in the words of Christ. He had confidence that if Jesus said, "Come," when he looked at Jesus walking on the water, he knew that if Jesus could do it, I believe he believed that I can do it too. And that, you know, Jesus told us that. He said, "Greater works than these shall do. The works that I do shall you do also. You'll go into all the world preaching the gospel, laying hands on the sick, and they shall recover," and all the other things. Because God has put his Spirit into the church. He's put his life into the church to give us confidence. You think about little Mary coming to Jesus' feet with confidence, not knowing what the reaction of Jesus would be when she began to wash his feet, and she knew that there was something special about that man, and it wasn't right for him to come into that house and not be greeted and not have his feet washed and not be anointed. And she began to anoint his feet with confidence, knowing that he was the Messiah. I believe that she knew who that man was, and she came with confidence. And when he looked up, not with scornful eyes, but he looked up and he said, "Your sins are forgiven. Your sins, though they are many, are forgiven you." Because she had confidence. She had confidence in that one. She had confidence in the word that was sitting there in front of her. And if you and I will have that same kind of confidence in the word that we have heard, whether or not we feel anything, whether or not we run or whether we shout, but if we'll just take a simple faith, just believe on the Lord God, that God will work wonders. I believe that God is still a miracle working God. You know, sometimes, many times as you just go through life, you can get into a rut where you begin to think that God is still not working. He's still not moving. And we were coming back and we heard many testimonies from the young people of great miraculous things to work, God working in the young people. And listen, if God could work in these little 11 and 12 year olds that are laying hands on one another and seeing healings in their body right under their fingertips while they're praying for one another, the little 12 year olds going up to one another, do you want me to pray with you? Do you want me? Let me pray. Let's all pray together. And God doing things. I wonder maybe if the older ones, if there's something lacking, if there's some kind of confidence lacking in our lives. Jesus said, let the little children come unto me, because the little children are not encumbered by egos and pride and malice and all the things that the older ones maybe let just kind of, we kind of almost clothe ourselves with wondering whether or not somebody likes us and all those things. But little children could just, they just run to one another and let me pray for you. I love you. And everybody loves one another. You know, I believe that's what the Holy Spirit was sent for to do. When the Holy Spirit begins to come into the lives of the believers and makes you drunk on that stimulation of revelation like they had on the day of Pentecost, a drunk man will love everybody. A drunk man don't care who you are. A drunk man will put his arms around somebody and say, I love you. I love you. And I want to be your friend. And that's what I believe I believe we're lacking. But you see, our confidence is in Christ. Let's read quote number one. Because confidence comes from words. Words can, even in a relationship, in a marriage relationship, can create an atmosphere, can cause hurt feelings for years. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And there's this profound quote that Brother Branham said. I think this is the only time where he mentioned this golden bowl in the heart that is affected by your words that you speak. Yeah. And he said this, and believest thou this? Well, now remember, happiness does not consist of how much of the world's good you own, but how contented you are with the portion that's allotted you. Right. So that's what it be. I said, now there'll be times that you all won't see things alike. He's talking about this married couple they want to get married. But always remember, you're still in love. Yep. When you see one set in the way and the other one don't, I said, give in. If they're wrong, it'll show. After a while, it'll be all right. I said, there's a little bowl in a human heart that is full of golden oil called love. If it is ever broke, it can be healed up, but there'll be a scar there as long as you live. That little bowl down in the human heart, Brother Branham said, the way that thing gets broken is by words. You see a married couple going along through life and how important it is to say the right words to one another. To express, and that, you know, that is what builds confidence. Amen. Confidence in a spiritual relationship. The words that we hear from God build our confidence. Right. And God is not telling us we're dogs in this day. Right. God is calling us His bride. God is telling us that He's confident in us. God is telling us that we're going to take a body change. Amen. And you see, I was listening to a testimony. Maybe I couldn't tell you all the details, but this brother that Brother Branham had told him in a vision that he was going to marry this girl, and they got married. And he said, over time, you know, I began. You talk about people believing in soulmates, which is something Brother Branham said. I never taught soulmates. I never taught that. But people believe that you believe, you know, when you find the right one, the person that you commune with that is right for you, and how much greater a matchmaking could it be for the prophet of God himself to match two people together, which is what happened in this situation. And if you want to know details, you can ask me later, and I can hunt that up for you. with this brother and sister. They got married, and the brother began to share that over time he began to speak hateful to his wife, and began to, now this was a match that was matched by the prophet of God, and he began to speak words to her, and he said, you cannot imagine somebody speaking words like this to somebody. And over time those words began to crack that golden bowl, because Brother Brown said once that golden bowl gets cracked and the thing, the contents run out, it's hard to repair that. And after a while they ended up getting divorced. You see, because words matter. The things that you say to one another matter. You can ruin a good setup like that, a good happy marriage like that, because of the words, the things that you say. And you say, well, it doesn't matter what I say to my wife. She's my wife or whatever. And you begin to put your thumb on her and just kind of put her down or whatever. You know, I don't believe that God puts his wife down. God, I believe that the bride of God is more than, that would say, just a byproduct. The wife of God in this age is the mystery of God, the mystery being revealed, the mystery of God revealing himself in the church. And God is speaking words of encouragement and words of faith to her, words to build up her confidence. And you see, maybe I wonder, that's really the point of this message tonight, is I wonder if the bride in this day is confident enough to realize who she is. I wonder if she's confident enough to realize what God has given her. I wonder if she's at a place where she realizes that God is confident with her. Amen. That God has put his life in her. Let's go to the next one, number two. Brother, I said, in Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, you mean here that's married, why did you marry your wife? And see, I love the way that Brother Branham phrases this. He's phrasing it in a confident, optimistic manner. Because you know there's a lot of people that just marry their wife because of carnal desires. They just marry them because they just fell into it. It was just a big old accident. But here he's speaking something to the church. He's saying, you married your wife because you proved it out. He said, you had confidence and faith that she'd make a real wife and mother and so forth. Women, back to your husbands the same way. Sweethearts are thinking of marriage. You're studying the man you'll marry or the girl you'll marry. You must have faith in them or you better not marry them. You better have confidence in them. And you know what kind of confidence should a young man or a woman in the message today have in the person that you want to marry? The kind of confidence where they are, you know that they are a real true believer because they have confidence in God. They have confidence in God. And see, you don't enter into something just having like a hope so, maybe so. Enter into an engagement, enter into a relationship where without putting your confidence in that person. You don't just presume something, you see. And God is not presuming with us because, you see, he had confidence with us. Before the foundation of the world, he knew that attributes that were predestinated in him would be manifested in each of these church ages. He knew that you would be sitting here this morning. He knew what your reaction to the word would be, and he knew if he could be confident in you or not. And that's why he gave you the new birth, is because he knew that he could be confident in you. But you see, words, confidence comes from words. Our confidence comes from the words of God. It comes from the word of God. Because we're not, you know, this Bible is not, I found a quote the other day. It was one of those quotes that I found it and then I lost it. And I couldn't find it again. But in that quote, Brother Brennan was saying, this is not just any other book. This is not a book like the Quran or like the Bhagavad Gita or whatever it is that the Buddhists read, that one of those books. It's not just a book that when you go to the library or the bookstore that you go to the self-help section and you pull off a book so that you can better yourself, so that you can be a better person. This is the Word of God in letter form. The attributes of God distilled into this letter form. And it is so perfect that over thousands of years of time, the message in the book of Revelation is the same as in the book of Genesis. It's the same as in the book of Isaiah. It runs in perfect continuity so that when God reveals His mystery to you, you can begin to read these things, read a subtext between the line, because you're part of Him. You're His wife. It's a love letter to you, and you can read it with that understanding, with that knowing. So you see, what gives you confidence is the preaching of the gospel. The Bible says, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I want to dwell on this for a little bit, because every time my kids get back from a camp, one of the things that they share that gave them confidence is when they were sitting in the congregation, they would think something in their mind, and the minister, a minister, whoever it might be, would turn and look at them and point and say, you think you're not going to get anything tonight, or whatever it might be. And you see, the Word of God is still a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God is still able, by the preaching of the gospel, to turn to speak to whatever is in your life, whether it might be personal struggle, wherever you are, with sanctification or the new birth, traveling up the statue of a perfect man, whatever it is, God is still able to speak to the situation that you're dealing with. The problem that we have many times is that when the Word goes forth, we are not confident. You know, many times confidence comes from somebody getting up behind the pulpit that lacks these virtues, because Brother Adam said that would be the biggest stumbling block, is to see somebody saying that you need to be living this, doing it, and then you walk outside maybe, or walk at the camp, wherever you are, and you stumble over the fact that person is missing some of these, missing temperance, missing patience. Those things have not been birthed into their life yet, and you can begin to stumble at the fact that it's a man up there behind the pulpit, but yet behind that man are still coming forth the words of God. And that's what is almost the mystery of the preaching of the gospel. It's a mystery. Really now, let's think. If the Word of God, if you could gain confidence by going out and staring at the sun like they do at the east, then that would be the thing that you should do. If you would get confidence by going out and pounding your head with a rock, Or by just listening to the birds tweet and chirp in the trees, then that would be the thing for you to do to get confidence. But the way that you get confidence is by the preaching of the gospel. Because the preaching of the gospel is the word of life to you. The preaching of the gospel is the greater works that Jesus talked about. In Titus 1-3, it says, but hath in due times, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. Manifested his word through preaching. And many times we stumble over that. We stumble because we think, well, the preaching of the gospel is too rough, or it's not rough enough. Or we think, well, they misquoted a scripture, like many times Brother Branham would say 700 instead of 7,000 or whatever. Well, they misquoted a scripture, and so I'm just going to place them aside. I'm not going to listen to that ministry anymore. Or here's the big one. They hurt my feelings. They hurt my feelings. Like, you know, when you come to the church of God and the word is going forth, if you realize where that word is coming from, if you have confidence where that word is coming from, it's coming from the Father. It's coming from the Lord God Almighty to polish you up, to shape you, and to mold you into His image. And so that's why Brother Branham said, if you can't take correction, then you don't know who your daddy is. You don't know that word is coming from your Father. You don't know that the word, the New Jerusalem, is the mother of us all. You don't know who your parents are. You don't know who your daddy is, and that makes you a bastard born child of God. That's why if you can't take correction, and listen, I feel like this is, I feel like almost stressing this, because people get hurt. Now I begin to realize what, for all these years, Brother Dale has told us, sit on your feelings. When the word of God is being preached, sit on your feelings, because the word is what will benefit you. The word is sharper than a two-edged sword. Let it cut and mold and shape you into His image. You know, the problem is the devil don't like being exposed. And when the word is going forth, it causes a reaction. It causes you to come out of the church saying, I feel like he was preaching on me. I feel like he had some kind of personal motive and objective. But of course, that's even worse when it's the local ministers, because we live with you and we walk with you and we do with you, and you begin to think within yourself, well, they just got something against me. But you know, I believe when the word begins to come forth, you don't have time to think up here when you're preaching. If the word comes forth and it slices and it cuts, let it cut where it may, even if it cuts me, even if it cuts myself, then let it cut and slice where it may. You know, brother, that story in the Bible where the very first Gentile woman to see a miracle, the very first Gentile in the Bible to see a miracle, Jesus called her a dog. She was saying, she was trying to approach him using the wrong title, son of David. And he said, my daughter. And he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then she came after he said, I'm not sent to you. What if a minister told you that? What if a minister said, I'm not sent to you? But that's not what the ministers are saying today. The ministers are declaring a positive confession to you. Nobody's calling you a dog. But she, when Jesus told those things to her, she began to worship God. And I believe that if every one of us could begin to take that reaction when the word begins to slice and cut, just to worship God, just to hold up holy hands, lift up holy hands and begin to praise him and thank him for the cutting, thank him for the slicing, then you'll see a miracle. Like she said, even the dogs eat the bread. She turned and she began to worship him and called him Lord. She said, Lord. And she began to worship him, and her approach was right. Many times that's why we don't have confidence, because we want it on our terms. We want the minister to say something. We want the minister to stroke us the right way and pet us the right way and preach on our pet topics and don't say something that we don't like. And if the minister says something that we disagree with, or even maybe something that the pastor disagrees with, then we toss him out and we won't never listen to him again. Listen, I believe that the ministry is growing too. Because listen, look, if you look back 20 or 30 years ago, the ministry is not preaching the same thing today that they were back then. They're preaching the Son of Man now. They're preaching the revelation of Jesus Christ in the church. They're preaching a bride coming into reality. They're preaching adoption. I went out to a website the other day and I began to look through the sermons, and I began to marvel, because they're preaching adoption. And you begin to think in yourself, well, nobody else in the message is preaching like we are here at this church. Listen, there's a fivefold ministry all around the world that is preaching the same gospel. And maybe they're not wording it exactly the same way that you or I or whoever might word it, but there's a bride all around this message, and they're catching the revelation. I believe it. So you see, the preaching of the gospel is actually part of the greater works that Jesus said, greater works shall you do. Greater works. Let's meditate on that for a little bit. In John 5:20, Jesus said, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. I wonder if we have confidence enough to marvel. I wonder if we realize the marvelousness of the preaching of the gospel. When you come to church and you hear something that will quicken you and give you confidence and give you faith in this hour, faith to receive healing, that is something marvelous. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, Jesus was going around raising up the dead, and it was the Father working in him. And one day Jesus would die and go down in the ground. But before he died, he had confidence that his flesh would not rot. He had confidence that before his flesh would rot, that Christ would raise him up from the grave. So he said, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. I want to declare to you, I believe that the Son of God has been working down through the seven church ages, quickening who he will through the preaching of the gospel, because that's what Jesus meant in John chapter 14, verse 10 to 13. He said, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I believe those words were a promise to the church, that when God put his own life into the church, he would manifest his own attributes in the church. And the same thing, many times we lose confidence in the fact that he is still Hebrews 13:8. He is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen, if he's able to heal people up at the camp, if he's able to restore lost children up in Alaska, if he's able to do all these things, he's able to do it in Lula too. He's able to do it because he's still the same. He's still Jehovah Jireh. He's still the same. So let's listen to what Brother Branham said about in that day on Calvary about greater works. He said, now notice, I appreciate whoever's doing the quotes back there. Y'all on the ball. The greater works was to have the power in the church. Power in the church. And listen, that don't mean when you feel like you have power. Power is something that comes from confidence with God. A revelation of who he is. And a revelation comes from the Word. When the Word is revealed to you, that gives you confidence. Regardless of whether it's raining or sunny, or whether you're in the inner court, out of wherever you're standing, your innermost being is in that holy of holies with God. The greater works was to have the power in the church, not only to heal the sick by prayer, cast out devils by prayer, but to impart eternal life to believers. The Holy Ghost was coming and given into the hands of the church to impart life. Oh, that's what Calvary meant. It took stooped, degraded men and women and lifted them into a place to be sons and daughters of God, to heal the sick and to impart eternal life by giving the Holy Ghost to obedient believers, men who were once unbelievers be made believers and impart spiritual eternal life. You know what that means? He wanted you to have a part to play in this. Right. He didn't want to just do it all himself. Exactly right. And he didn't want to just let the church age messengers do it all themselves. Because under each church age messenger, you would have the preaching of the gospel. Listen, you could even have a little housewife preaching to her little children gathered around, and she can impart eternal life to them. It's not just the ministry that is imparting life. Listen, when you gather around in Bible studies in your home, as I know you all do, because I'm speaking positively, I'm speaking confidently. I know you do that because you're all Christians here and you want to raise your children up just like Abraham did. God, there's a scripture in the Bible that says God gave all of these promises to Abraham because he knew he would teach them to his children. So when you gather all your little children around your knee, like John Wesley's wife did, when you gather them all around your knee, you are imparting eternal life to them, because it's passed down. It's passed down from one believer to the next. It's passed like passing an actual torch, because you are the light of the world. You have that light on the inside, and that light is passed from the one to the other by the words that you speak, by the atmosphere that you create. And you create an atmosphere of worship, an atmosphere of faith by the words that you speak. You know, Brother Branham, when he got into a meeting where that word was being spoken, he could actually see that milkiness of faith, milkiness of the people believing as they received the words that were spoken. The word is what creates that atmosphere. Do you have confidence that that is what creates the atmosphere? Amen. That's what's such a stumbling block, such a stumbling stone almost to many people, is that this word is the thing that will give you confidence. And we'll trade it off so many times for something else. We'll trade it off for the new spirit that God gives you. He'll give you a new spirit. He'll give you a new spirit, but that's not the confidence yet. That's not the faith on the inside. Now, it might feel good when we come to church and everything, but when you begin to look into the Word and it begins to open up to you and you begin to see yourself in the Scripture and identify yourself. See, it's almost hard to explain. But when God begins to reveal himself to you, it's like the veil comes off of your eyes and you begin to see things as they really are. I begin to look, I like to read about and study on how other people got the new birth, how other people's experience was. And when you begin to look at Martin Luther and John Wesley's lives, just for example, you begin to look at how they had confidence in the Word. Confidence in the Word is what gave them, brought them to a place of the new birth. Oh goodness, lift up those dreary eyelids. It's not time to take your rest. Because when you look at how other people's experiences, you can begin to compare their experience to yours and see if it matches up. Compare it and see if it how it matches up with the Word. You see, Martin Luther and John Wesley, they both came to thunderstorms. Martin let Wesley on a road and John Wesley out on a ship. And there was a big storm that rose up in both of their lives. And in both of their lives, they began to realize that they didn't have the confidence that they thought they did. Now, in Martin Luther's case, he was going down a road and lightning began to strike. It struck a big old tree right next to him. Kaboom! And my goodness, he realized, he began to cry out to God, but he didn't know who to cry out to. He was still all up in that Catholic system, so he began to call out to St. Anne. And you see, in that moment, you know, he was trying to do something. He was trying, and that's how many of us do. We try to do something in our own ability. But, you know, when you begin to turn to the Word of God, that is where your confidence really comes from. So you see, when he got his confidence, he was studying in the Scripture, and he began to look. He was reading the Latin of that Scripture in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, that says, "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." And he began to look up the word just and meditate on that. And in the Latin that he was reading, the word was justificare. That sounds like a bit justificare. To make righteous. In the Latin, they were translating a word that meant to make righteous by something the church gives you. By something that you do. By how many times you can beat yourself. So by how many novenas you can say. But he began to look back in the original Greek and he read the word dikios. I might not even be pronouncing that right, but it don't really matter because you see, God was speaking to him as he looked into the word. He looked into the word and began to open up to him that it said the original Greek translation meant to count righteousness. In other words, that you were righteous because God gave you his righteousness. It was not something that you did. It was something that he did. And all of a sudden, the word began to open up to him. And maybe he didn't feel anything. I don't know. Maybe he felt something. But yes, something down on the inside was quickened. A spark was lit. And it transformed the whole world, and it began to reform the world by that little revelation of what the new birth really is. Because the new birth is the justification of your soul, that God has given you his righteousness. You see how simple the new birth is? See how simple faith in God is? And look, let's meditate on John Wesley for just a little bit as the time creeps around. John Wesley there in that thunderstorm on the ocean as the waves began to rock the boat and the lightning was striking, and he began to look at those Moravian families and even the Moravian children and marveled at how even the children were not afraid. They were like, if God takes my life, then I'm confident that my life is in a place where I know where I'm going. I'm confident in the one that has redeemed me. I'm confident that the price has been paid. And he looked at them, he looked at their faith and began to wonder, did he have that same kind of faith? You know, when he got back to England after going into America, do you know he continued preaching even without the new, he knew he didn't have the new birth. If somebody said, preach faith until you get it, and then you can preach it because you have it. And he began to keep preaching faith, and he, one day he began to meditate on the Scripture, and he began to look at scriptures like 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 that says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And he began to realize through the word, through the promise of God, that God had made these promises to him, that whereby God could give you the divine nature of God, and his confidence was placed in the word of God. Where his confidence previously had been placed in his own good works and just doing right and all of those things. I wonder tonight if many maybe here could, our confidence might be placed in things that we do, of living a good legalistic message believer life, where we don't, the women are not cutting their hair and they're dressing appropriately maybe, but yes, something down on the inside, you haven't quite opened up that door of your heart to let him down on the inside. You haven't quite opened that door of faith to let him have complete dominion. Because you see, as I began to meditate on confidence in the scripture and began to think about all of these different junction times, there was always, Brother Brown taught that there were three exoduses. And in each of these exoduses, a coming out and a going into, at each of these times, there was always somebody that didn't have confidence. There was always somebody that believed. And you know what God did? Well, after he dealt with them, after he labored and was patient with them, the Bible says rising up early, speaking the word to them. After dealing with them, finally he would turn and go to a different group of people. Y'all all right?
Amen.
You look like you're all right.
Amen.
So I have confidence that you're all right. And I'm just going to breeze through this and try to get through this. In Numbers chapter 14, the Bible says that because all those men which have seen my glory, that here we are at Kadesh Barnea, and they're fixing to go over into the promised land, just like we're fixing to go over into a body change. All the third exodus, you come out and you got to go into each exodus, I mean. He said, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. And so do you see what happened was that generation, they failed to have confidence that God was able to take them over into the promised land. So God began to turn to a younger generation. He began to turn to a group of people, including Caleb, that he knew would have confidence that he could take them over.
Amen.
Let's look at the third Exodus in Acts chapter 13:46, or the second Exodus, I'm sorry. Let me just give an overview of this, because I gave a little Bible study to my kids the other night on what the three Exoduses were. Because they came out of Egypt and went to the promised land. They came out and went into. And then they came out of the Old Testament, the Pharisaical and Sadducee ideas, and they went into the promise of the new birth in the second Exodus. And the third Exodus, we come out of the ideas and the denominational ideas of the seven church ages, and we go into the promise of the Son of Man, into the message, into the capstone revelation, into a body change. But you see, in each of these exoduses, there was somebody that was left behind because they did not have confidence in the revelation of their day. In Acts chapter 13, verse 46, it says, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So there in the second Exodus, God turned from these people who, and we know the Jews were blinded and the whole story behind that, but they could not lay hold to confidence in the scripture. Confidence that God was able to give them the new birth is what it was. And so God turned to the Gentiles. And then in the third Exodus, in Revelation, you say, well, where is the turning? Where is the turning away in this day? In Revelation chapter 3, 15 and 16, he said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because you say, and you see, in this day, God has poured out everything to us. He has given us the full revelation of the Word. And yet you see in many message churches even, in many churches, people are lukewarm and they won't go and pour through the Scripture like the Bereans. They won't get into the Scripture. And you see maybe, here's where the sword gets the slicing. As you see ones come out after service and they go out into the parking lot maybe, and they begin to say, well, I don't even halfway understand anything that's being spoken. I tell you what, I begin to be grieved when I hear things because, listen, Brother Wade has laid out the seven seals, laid it out so even a brain dead person could begin to understand the seven seals. You could just about be laying as an invalid and then you won't go and study and you won't go read and you won't go find out what it says. And then you go out into the parking lot and begin to say, I can barely keep, I don't know what's going on. I don't know who to believe. I don't know if this is something that Levail or our Brother Donnie or whoever is preaching. I don't know what the truth is. And you begin to wonder, listen, it's a time where like at Kadesh Barnea where the ministers Joshua and Caleb begin to tear their garments. It's a time when you begin to wonder, are the people catching the revelation of the hour or are they going to just be left behind? Is God going to turn and just spew them out of their mouth? Listen, let's be frank here. I believe that the foolish virgin is going to come out of many message churches because in many message churches, people are foolish. People are virgins sitting in churches untainted by the things of the world, untainted by the denominational ideas, but yet they sit in the church and they believe they're okay and they won't go on to receive the confidence of the word for their day. They've lost confidence in the ministry. They've lost confidence in the man behind the pulpit. They've almost lost confidence in the word that's been delivered to them. And they say, well, I don't even know. I barely even know. I don't know what the message is about. I don't know what it's about. So without knowing what's it about, all that I'm left to do is return back to just kind of symbols of my faith. Just kind of artifacts of my faith, like the Catholics, where they would maybe cling a hold to like a nail that they thought came from Jesus, or cling to like the Shroud of Turin or something. And now, listen, you can make anything a relic. You can make I don't even listen to tapes anymore because I don't have tapes. Tapes are a thing of two or three generations ago. Not two or three generations. Come on, Brother Bob. Tapes are a thing of 10, 20 years ago. We don't listen to tapes anymore. We've got it on our phones. But yet you can put that up on your home. You can put it on your wall and hang it on your wall and say, look at me. I have confidence. I have confidence in this relic. And you can make it a relic. You can make it a relic because it's hanging on your wall and you put your confidence in that thing without receiving the revelation of Jesus Christ in your life. You could even make the prophet of God something that you put, I believe that God sent a prophet. That's all well and good. And that's maybe something that we preached about 20 or 30 years ago, but it's time for you to receive the revelation that prophet preached. It's time for you to get into the message and find out the things that he spoke about so that you might have confidence. Because listen, just sitting around and clapping about that God sent a prophet will not give you confidence. Just sitting around and saying that I believe that we are sitting around and saying that we're in a particular place, like the scripture that Brother Wade read. If they say go into the desert or go over here, don't believe them because you know where the word of God is. You have confidence that he is in you and the word is nigh you, even in your mouth. The words that the prophet spoke are now in your mouth and you have the ability to speak them to your family, to your coworkers, to the people that you walk with and talk with. Listen, the word of God is not just in the ministry's mouth. The word of God is, and that I believe is the mystery of this day. The mystery that the ministers are preaching is that Christ is in you. Christ, the hope of glory, is in you. Let me read that quote. My goodness. Time's running away with me. Let's go to quote number 15 and then I'll try to wrap it up here. And adoption number four. And he said, now, he said, and this was, I'm going to give Brother Luis credit for this because he shared this quote. He said, you don't have to give me credit for finding this, but this is a fantastic quote, and I'm using this quote. You can use it again, Brother Luis, but I'm going to use it for now. He said, now, he said, he made known to us the mystery. Get the Holy Spirit on you sometime and start running that and just watch how it goes. Start running that. If you sit down with the message software and just type in the mystery and see what it says, run that through the message and see what it comes back with.
Amen.
This afternoon I had, oh, about 30 minutes to study just to look the lesson over. Maybe not. I'll say half of that. 15 minutes between the times, and I got to running and I thought, the mystery, how mysterious.
Right.
And the scripture packed me back into the Old Testament, then back over into the New Testament, tied something together. See the mystery of His coming, the mystery of His will, the mystery of us sitting together. Remember, it cannot be taught in any seminary. It's a mystery. You cannot know it by education, by theology. It's a mystery that's been hidden since the foundation of the world, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now listen, I believe a minister should be plain so that when you leave, you don't wonder what I believe. Because I believe that this is why God gave the preaching of the gospel is to reveal the mystery. And so if you just sit at home, this might stir up some controversy or whatever, but I'm going to say it anyway. If you just sit at home listening to the tapes, you are missing the mystery. You're in danger of missing the mystery. The mystery, what is the mystery? You say, somebody was telling my kids the other day, well, you know what? If you want to sit at home and listen to tapes, that's fine. Or if you want to come to church, that's fine. Just whatever you do and you don't have any, there's nothing to stand on. I believe when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard. We've got to have a standard. And the standard is His word. And the word says come to church because that's where the preaching of the gospel is. That's where the preaching of the mystery is. What is the mystery? It seems all very mysterious. But you know, if you go back to Colossians 1:26-27, you'll find out what the mystery is. The mystery that has been hidden from ages and from ages and is now revealed to the Gentiles. But you know, so many people fail to see what that mystery is. And even a lot of times when the mystery is preached, you don't have confidence in the ministry, you don't have confidence in the word, and your eyes are veiled over and you fail to see what the mystery is. The mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery is that God is in you. That you are the fulfillment of the entire New Testament, just like Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament. The life of Christ in you is the fulfillment of the New Testament. And God is putting His life in you just like His life was in Himself as He walked the shores of Galilee. The life of God in the believers, in the church. And that life is what will give you confidence. That life is what will take you in a rapture because God is going to take His own life in the rapture. God is going to take His own word in the rapture. And you have eaten the word and you have received it until you have become the word. And that's why, you know, many ministers, they're fighting against this thing that I don't need to come to church. And it's not because we're not balanced. I'm so tired of hearing that. We're not balanced. We don't have a balanced view of it. The reason is because we want people to see the mystery. Listen, if you have these virtues, you can see afar off and you can see what's happening in the church. You can see what's taking place in the people's lives and you can see that there's a confidence lacking and there's something in you groaning and crying out. Believe God. Believe the word of God. Allow God to have preeminence in your life so that this mystery can be unfolded in you. The mystery is not God sent a prophet. That's part of the mystery. Because God had to send a prophet so that you could hear the prophet's message. The mystery is that God is in you. You know, you look back into the scripture and think about, and I'm trying to close here. Y'all bear with me just for a little bit longer. I know it's Wednesday night, but I believe that you travel for a long way to hear the word tonight. And so my goal is to feed you a little bit. You read back in John chapter 1 when the disciples, there was two disciples with John, the one that was to introduce the Son of Man. There were two disciples with John, and John said, "There goes the Son of Man." One of them was Andrew, and we don't know the name of the other. And Andrew said, "There goes the Son of Man." And he didn't just discard what the prophet said. That's what everybody said. The fivefold ministry is saying we know something more than the Elijah ministry. No, he turned to receive the Son of Man.
Right. Amen.
He turned after the Son of Man. And you see, that's the same thing that Elijah has done in this day.
Amen.
He brought a message to speak the word that the Son of Man would be made manifest.
Amen.
Again.
Amen.
And if you just have your eyes still on the prophet, I believe God sent a prophet, and we love to tell all the stories, and we love to all the different things about God in that manifesting himself in the prophet, the visions and everything. But he preached a message.
Amen.
He preached a message.
Amen.
To reveal the Son of Man. And where is the Son of Man?
Amen.
The prophet is not on earth today.
Right.
And John was taken off the earth when the Son of Man was being revealed.
Right.
The prophet is not on earth. Where is the Son of Man? The Son of Man is in you.
Amen.
The Son of Man is being revealed in you. Not
Amen.
Just a particular man, not just one individual preacher.
Amen.
Not just one individual person, but the bride all around the world is the Son of Man. God is revealing himself in you, and that is the mystery. That's the thing you'll miss by just sitting home and listening to the tapes. And you'll say, well, now I hear it, now I know it, but you've got to go through and experience your own self. And that's what the foolish virgin do. They wait until it's too late, and then they go to get oil in their lamp, but it's too late. It's too late because the bride has already come through an experience. They've already gone through a growth process. They've already come through all of this building up time. They've already come through receiving the Son of Man revelation. They've struggled and they've strived to receive that capstone revelation so that that word could be produced in their lives. Oh God, I hope it's not too late, friends. I hope it's not too late, because so many have squandered this time, and God now will turn. He's turning and he's saying, well, you've been too lukewarm all this time. You didn't get into the message. You didn't struggle and strive. You didn't receive it. It's not about being balanced, friends. It's about understanding the mystery of the day. It's about understanding the mystery. And you cannot receive the mystery. I believe that if you look around and observe, it is apparent that just sitting home in tapes, listening to tapes, will not give you confidence in that mystery. And maybe this will stir up controversy or whatever, but I believe the Old Testament, if you go look at Hebrews 11, the Hebrews 11 saints were well acquainted with controversy. Daniel was well acquainted with controversy when he threw his window open and was thrown in the lion's den. The three Hebrew children were well acquainted with controversy when they would not bow to the image of the prophet. They would not worship the prophet. They would not worship the image that had been erected, because they knew their God. They had confidence in their God, and they had confidence in the revelation for their day. I'm trying to wind up. I'm going to just speak on a few more things, because, see, that's what the stature of a perfect man is. When God puts his confidence in you, he wants you to realize that God is confident in you. And he begins to work on you and give you trials and things as you grow up in the grace of God. And you begin to build, one thing gets built on the other, until God is looking at you. And you see, I began to read scriptures, read quotes, the things that Brother Branham said about why gifts are not manifest in the church today. Do you realize the power that God has given us? The power of the spoken word. Brother Branham said if God just unleashed unleashed everything that was inhibiting you, you could go create a world. You could speak a world into existence. You begin to think, that is a lot of power. And before you give that kind of power to somebody, before you let them have all that free reign, and we'll talk about the gifts too, before you let these gifts unloose in the church of speaking in tongues, of all these different things, you want to make sure that the people know how to use it.
Amen.
That they're nice and mature.
Yes.
Exactly.
Amen.
Because you don't want to give a chainsaw into the hand of a little baby and have it running around cutting things or whatever, but you want to make sure that they're confident first. And so you got to test them and try them. You got to put them through some things. And that's what many times is so hard about being a Christian, is you feel like maybe God has left you, especially maybe right after receiving the new birth. Just like when the Spirit came upon Jesus on the River Jordan, right after that he was in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. And just after God does something for you, then many times the devil begins to attack you and try you. Just after you believe for healing, it seems like you're getting sicker all the time, but just have confidence, have faith in the Word of God, and God will bring His Word to pass. And I'm going to end right there because I know it's getting late and everything. I feel like I could probably go on for another 2 hours, but I don't want to scare anybody. So the musicians can go ahead and come forward. But you know, many times Brother Branham talked about, I'm just going to finish on these as they come forward. Brother Branham talked about how many times you begin to stray away. You begin to forget what your confidence is. And he told that story of that. Down in Sydney, as they were building that bridge, that famous bridge over the Sydney Harbor, and they looked for different ones that could build it, and finally they found a man that said, I can do it, but we gotta dig. We gotta dig way, and the way Brother Branham said it, we gotta dig way, 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 way down. Down all the way until they got to bedrock. And that's how you find confidence, is when you go home and you say, well, I'm just going to dig through all this stuff in my house. It's time for sanctifying. It's time for a purging. I'm getting rid of all the stuff that shouldn't be here. And you dig down until you find confidence with God.
Right.
And remember that story that Brother Branham told about, well, it was in the Bible in 2 Kings chapter 3, about those three kings that they went up against, I believe it was Moab, and they went 7 days, 7 days out into Edom, out into the wilderness of Eden, and they ran out of water, and they began to cry out for God. Is God still able to deliver us? And Jehoshaphat sent for the prophet Elijah and Elisha, and Elisha came and he told him, you know, Brother Branham, the way Brother Branham explains this, he said it was revealed to Elisha that the place where they were on was the same place where when the Israelites were in Egypt, that Moses had come down off of the mountain, and instead of smiting the children of Israel, he smoked that rock, and out from that rock came gushing water. In that same place, now they were. And that out in the middle of the wilderness of Edom, and Elisha began to tell them, the prophet of God told them, if you want water, if you want to win this battle, you got to dig. And they began to dig, and they began to dig those ditches. So, you know, many times in life, you get to a place where you feel like you've been left alone, that nobody loves you, that nobody cares for you, that God has left you all alone. You begin to lose confidence at the place where you are. You begin to lose confidence that God is still on your side. And Brother Brown taught us the antidote for that, the remedy for that is to begin to dig. So let's begin to dig. If you have something in your life, it's time to get it out of the way. Dig. So many times you gotta dig. You gotta dig through the naysayers. You gotta dig through people who say, well, they're not preaching right. You gotta dig through all the things. They're not believing right. Those people are crazy to believe in a baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're crazy to believe that God is still able to deliver and heal. You gotta dig through all of that. But that's how you get confidence, saints. And I am confident in the Word of God.
Amen.
And I'm confident in you. I'm confident in the church that we have.
Amen.
And I'm a believer.
Amen.
I'm confident.
Amen. Amen.
Let's sing some songs. Let's worship.
288. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Troublesome times are here. Feeling hearts with fear. Bring your hope. Sound, it shall rise, righteous meeting.
sky. If you're confident and you have a need, come and receive. We got ministers on the front row. We're a believing church. If you have a need, come and receive, and we'll believe with you.
Trumpets will sound, will surely sound. All of the dead shall rise. Righteous meet in the sky. Going where no one dies. Heavenward bound. Trumpets will soon be o'er. Happy forevermore. When we meet on the shore. Free from all care. Rising up in the sky. Telling this world goodbye. And when we then shall find glory to share. Jesus coming soon. Morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise. Righteous meet in the sky. Going where no one dies. Troubled soon times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake. Humble your heart to God, saves from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians away. Jesus coming soon, morning or night. So many go, losing their home of gold. This in God's word is told, it was abound. When these signs come to pass, near the end at last, it will come very fast, trumpets will sound. Jesus coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will be soon be old, happy forevermore. When we meet on that shore, free from all care. Rising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye. Homeward we then will fly, glory to share. Jesus coming soon. All of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the sky, going where no one died, heavenward bound. Jesus coming soon, morning or night or noon, many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound, all of the dead shall rise.
Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. All the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the sky, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake. Humble your heart to God, saves from a chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians away. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound.
Listen, church, I just want to give a little quick testimony. You begin to cry out for your children and things. I remember somebody was telling me a while back that they began to call out to God for their children, for their family in prayer. And something began to move in them as they were praying. And they began to cry out that God would pull at their heart and begin the way that they were praying was that God would move upon their heart. Well, you know, the next day, they were praying for two brothers is what they were doing. They were praying for two brothers. And the next day, these two brothers wound up, they said they felt like their heart was being squeezed. And they ran to the hospital because they thought they were having a heart attack. Something was going on and they began to get serious for God. Now, I'm not saying pray for bad things to happen or whatever, but if you put things into God's hands, if you exercise your faith and confess to God, put your confession before God and say, I believe your word. I believe that you're still able to return the lost. You're still able to patch up my home. God will come on this. You'll see God move. Amen. Let's keep singing.
There are some things I may not know. There are some places that I can't go, but I am sure. God's part, then God.
He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's real. Not just because I can feel him right now, because I have confidence in his word. Because he's saved us. He's changed us. He's molding us into his image. We know he's real, don't we, church? How could you doubt that he's real? When you can feel his presence, when you know he's here in the church tonight, he's building us up. He's building up our confidence in his word. Speaking to his people. That's why he sent his spirit into the church to be a confidence to us. To show us that he loves us. Don't ever forget that he loves you. Is everybody feeling good?
Amen.
Well, let's just go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll be dismissed. Lord God, we're so grateful to you, Lord God, for your presence. We're so grateful, Lord God, that you sent your soul into the church, Lord Jesus, to baptize us into the body, Lord, to change us, Lord God, from the creatures that we once were, Lord. Like Paul said, such were some of you, as he listed off all the things that he's brought us out of, Lord God. You've cleansed us and purified us and made us like you, Lord God. And now you've caused this great mystery to be revealed in us. And we're so grateful to you, Lord God, for your great manifold blessings, Lord Jesus, for your grace to us, Lord God. Lord God, How can we do anything but worship you, Lord Jesus? And thank you, Lord God, for what you've done for us. And give you praise and honor and glory for all that you've done for us, Lord Jesus. We just thank you, Lord God, for your grace. Thank you, Lord God, for calling us out, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for causing us to be in a little church somewhere one time when somebody was preaching the gospel, Lord, and we heard it and we were called away, called to believe this message of the hour. Thank you, God, for calling us and saving us, Lord Jesus. I pray, oh God, that you'll bless your church, Lord Jesus. Bless your people, Lord, as they go their separate ways. Lord God, bless them on the road tonight. Bless the pastor and the deacons and the trustees and all the ones here, Lord Jesus. Lord, that their faith and their confidence would continue to be strengthened in you as long as they have days left on the earth. Grant it, we pray, Lord God. And we believe you and we love you and we thank you, Lord God. Amen. You're dismissed. Oh, sorry. Hold on.
Everybody knows Brother Forney's coming this weekend to minister. All right, now. He has been off from work quite a while, not being able to minister, travel. He's back on the travel route now, doing pretty good, but still can't go all the way. So what we're going to do is this Sunday now, we're going to take up a special offering for Brother Forney in to help him in his ways and his things of his ministry, you know, to do. And I ain't talking about just for preaching for us. I'm talking about just let's just dig down a little bit into our pockets and give him a little money to where that he can make sure his bills are paid and make sure everything's going. I haven't talked to him about it or nothing. This is just me. So we will, the Lord willing, this Sunday have a special offering for Brother Forney.
Amen.
All right. And that way we can all take a little part to try to send out some of these brothers around the world. Okay. Amen. So you're dismissed. Pray one for another. Tell our brother how much you appreciate him.
Amen.